Hello, welcome to the Never Not Creative podcast. I'm Andy Wright, but you're not going to hear too much from me today. I'm going to hand over to my Never Not Creative co-creator, V. Dewey, who's over in London and in this episode is talking to one of the founders of Sanctus. Sanctus are a mental well-being coach for your business. And I've been massive admirers of Sanctus for a long time. And so we've managed to be able to catch up with James Routledge, who is one of the founders of Sanctus, has written a book called Mental Health at Work, published by Penguin Business Experts, and knows pretty much all there is to know about how we can improve our mental well-being at work. So we're really excited to have him on the podcast. I'm going to hand over to V to take you through this episode.
Hi, James. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me and being on Never Not Creative's podcast today. I can imagine everything's really busy right now with your launch of your book just a few weeks ago. How are you doing with all that?
I'm all right. I'm just getting used to what it's like to have written a book and have launched one. It's completely new ground for me. I've been a writer for a while and obviously started a couple of businesses, but actually launching a book has been a new experience, so I'm getting used to that.
I can imagine just the thought and hearing you comment about it, just almost if one were to put their, go in your shoes, it must just be surreal though, too, just to be like, my name's out there beyond it's a published work. So,
yeah, it's really, I kept using the word surreal, mad, weird for ages. Like I couldn't find another adjective to respond if people asked me, how's it feel or how's it going? Which I think was like a little bit of a defense, really, that maybe I didn't truly want to admit how I felt about it, or I didn't truly know. I reflected on it a bit longer, actually, the other day. And I actually think one of the things that is a feeling I'm getting used to is it's one of the first things I've ever actually finished and completed.
Really?
And actually done. You know, like you start a business and it's never done. I didn't finish university. Yeah, so it's one of the first sort of things in my life that I've actually kind of completed, basically.
Congratulations, that's amazing. And for such a thing to complete, a book that puts your name out there, puts your whole experience and so forth and your thoughts. And that's actually an impressive thing to complete. So, but before we dive in, I would love to hear more about your book and that process, but especially for some people that might not be familiar with you and so forth, I would love to just speak to your journey and your leadership journey to get to this point, to actually finish your Penguin book. Would love to hear a little bit more about that.
Yes, where to start, I suppose. I mean, I think that the journey that got me to this point in particular as becoming an author has been starting Sanctus, which is the business I founded 5 years ago. Previous to that, I dropped out of university to start my first business with a group of friends from university. We were young and excitable and probably a bit naive, like we wanted very much to go on that startup journey and saw our name in lights sort of thing and got really excited by the prospect of what it would be to create something. That was quite, it was just naive and youthful. Like we had a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm, but it wasn't really, we didn't really know what we were doing or why we were doing it, importantly. And after about 3.5 years, the fuel ran out of that, of all of us and of the business as well. And it was never really a business, to be honest. It was just a series of ideas that we could never turn into anything viable. And then after I shut that business down, I started to struggle with my mental health for the first time, which was something that I had absolutely no experience of, awareness of. I had no education of mental health. I'd grown up in a pretty typical British environment, I think, which is, don't talk about your feelings and kind of keep calm and carry on, sweep stuff under the carpet, kind of stiff upper lip kind of thing. Never really consciously engaged in that, but when you grow up in that, that's just how you operate. So when I started to feel really anxious and have panic attacks, I was really confused and scared. I didn't really know what was going on. And I was a bit embarrassed and I didn't want to tell anyone and talk to anyone about it. And I didn't know where to go, what to do. And I really wanted to solve that problem for myself. Like, I wanted to feel better. So I started to write about mental health. I started to tell my story. And then that started to galvanize more of a movement around mental health. And this was 5 years ago now. So there was a conversation about mental health, but it was much more underground. It was very kind of in the shadows. And a lot of the people that were sharing stories had been suffering in silence for a long time. So there's a lot of pain there. So yeah, I started talking about mental health and sharing my story in a way that I think I hope was quite relatable and quite honest. And I think it helped that I'm a young guy, and I don't think there were many young men at that point talking about mental health. So that obviously kind of, you know, made me stand out a little bit. And then that movement and that community that came together, who all kind of wanted the same thing, which is what I started to talk about, which was a world where we take care of our mental health like we do our physical health, a world where there's mental health gyms on the high street. And I just started to paint a picture of a vision, and came up with a brand and called that Sanctus to sort of encapsulate all of this. Yeah, that then sort of turned into a business, basically quite organically. It was intentional, but it was very organic. And we started partnering with businesses to support employees with their mental health. So we partner with them, do events, help them build a community around mental health in their business, and then provide one-to-one personal coaching for employees to have a safe space to talk to someone about a broad range of how they're feeling. And then that's been us, and that's been me for the last 5 years, building that business, partnering with many different companies in the UK. Yeah, and just being like, I suppose, one of the leaders, I think, in the mental health in the workplace movement in the UK in particular. And then about a year ago, Penguin asked me to kind of write a book about it all, which was great. And that brings me to now.
Oh, amazing. I will have to say, because I am pretty new to the UK in the last 3 years, but coming from in-house, coming from corporate, especially corporate America, hearing about what Sanctus is all about is something I will have to say that's like the first when I first heard about your company. So, because normally you just have the HR department and then they'll just dole out some type of, you know, guidance that's by the book, that's, you know, kosher PC and wouldn't really help. So it was really lovely to hear about your company. I'm just wondering, along that journey though, is there anybody that has you looked up to for inspiration, for guidance, for mentorship? Because it's definitely, it seems like a very, you know, dealing with your own mental health, I will attest, I've had to struggle with that for a long time. You just can't do it alone. No one's an island. So was there anybody along this journey that helped you?
Yeah, I'd say loads of people, really. I mean, when I think about my own mental health, like my own sort of how I've supported myself, how I've learned more about myself, how I've grown and developed over the last 5 years, I mean, a whole network of people that I've leaned on, that have supported me, from going to therapy and having a great therapist to having a couple of really good coaches along the way, a very supportive partner who I, you know, talk to about what's going on all the time, to friends, to having a great team at Sanctus of again, people in the same space. So yeah, that's all been a massive support. And obviously with a coach and a therapist, that's a very specific, you're paying for support, right? You know, you pay to go and see them and have conversations that will lead you to, yeah, hopefully heal or grow in certain ways. Obviously with friends or, you know, close relationships or your partner or who you live with, you know, they're not paid to do that. That's just, you know, that's just that kind of part of the relationship. And that's just about having, I suppose, people around you that love you and you love them and you can support each other. And then I've had a few entrepreneur friends or founder mates, I think, that have also helped me more with the practical sides of building a business, but also this kind of psychological impact of building a business. Because yeah, you know, being a founder or being a creative in whatever your craft is, whether it's business building or writing or art or design, or, you know, it's nice to have people that really understand the nuance of what you're actually building You can get support from a lot of people, but you know, someone who gets what it's like to have to let someone go, or to, you know, have what it feels like to have to put your prices up, or have difficult conversations with someone about your business or raise money or whatever, that obviously really helps as well. So that's also great mentorship.
That's wonderful, because knowing just as an outsider, just seeing, especially not just building up the company, but also the environments that impact the building up. So like even with what went on with COVID or prior, that's just, I'm glad you have, having a mentor, having those support networks is amazing, especially as an entrepreneur. I'm curious, you wrote your book during lockdown and alone without having to write a book and just doing normal life. It was difficult for people, but how was writing a book about mental health during the pandemic for you? How did that go? I've seen some of your comments on LinkedIn and so forth, but I'm just curious to hear a little bit more.
I mean, it was a pretty good time for writing a book, to be honest. I think we'll look back in history and say, well, you know, it doesn't get much better. There was no distractions or very few distractions in terms of other choices of other things you could do. There was plenty of distractions going on in the news or the world or whatever, but that we were all very limited with how we could spend our time. Also, a big thing for me was that I stepped back from the day-to-day running of Sanctus, and there's just no way I could have written a book whilst also running a business. So I think actually that was the biggest thing that allowed me to have the headspace and the time to invest myself into writing a book. So we hired a CEO in November last year, and then slowly kind of went on the transition of letting go and handing things over more, which just allowed me to just get the clarity of thought, I think, also to be able to distill some of my thinking and my story and my observations into a book. And then lockdown just helped with the parameters, I suppose, of, you know, no even thought of going anywhere, like, you know, no option to. So it just really helped. Actually, though, I think what would trump all of that in terms of the support for writing a book and going on quite a, you know, like a long-term creative endeavor, I suppose, which writing a book definitely is, because it's really solitary and it's really long. I joined an online community called Writer's Hour, which we just basically, it's really simple. You join a Zoom call with loads of other writers and you write together for an hour. So it's kind of like being in a virtual library, and you just sit there in silence and people have got their cameras on or off, and you know that other people are there, and that massively helped. I was probably joining that 3 or 4 times a day sometimes, just to kind of feel part of something and not feel alone in the process. And actually that was, that made a really big difference.
That's wonderful. I've never heard of that before. That's amazing. That's because I just sitting down writing any type of lengthy document is just mentally, you know, heavy. So that's great to have that uplift, especially in the isolation. So is there one point or one part about in the book, like I'm imagining that you like every part of the book, but is there one part that really stands out to you that was like really hit home for you, or is just holds a special spot for you that you would always like go back to?
Probably the conclusion, actually. Yeah, I enjoy the introduction, the conclusion of the book, I think are the most me. So, because they're the most personal. I think I write best when I'm sharing something about myself, usually. And that's when I can be the most honest, and I can sort of, I think I can articulate my experience in a way that often people can really relate to. The middle of the book, I think, is really valuable because there's lots of practical insight in there. Yeah, but in terms of what I like, I'd definitely say the conclusion. And I recorded an audiobook the other day, so I sat in a room on my own, just sort of talking the book out loud for like 7 hours, which is a very unglamorous experience. And yeah, when it got to the conclusion and I found myself talking, you know, speaking to that bit, I definitely felt the most connected to it, because it's where I talk about the wider societal kind of awakening I think we're going through with mental health. You know, I think all of us becoming more in touch and more aware of how we feel and our emotional state, I really believe is a big part of like what I would describe as a shift in consciousness, where we're all moving to, you know, becoming much more conscious and considered about who we are and how we impact the world around us and how we are in our relationships or how we are at work. And, you know, I feel very hopeful for that movement, because I think it will spark change in many different areas of the world, because I've seen it in my own life. You know, as I started to explore my mental health more, I then change my diet, or I change, you know, some relationships, or I change the clothes I buy, or I change the shops that I shop in, or who I vote for. And that's really big real world change if millions of people go on that journey. So I think the big challenges we've got around the, you know, the climate crisis, you know, systemic sexism and racism, you know, deeply entrenched problems, I think we've got a better chance of moving the needle on those if people start like within, basically. So yeah, that probably holds like quite a special place in my heart, because I think that that's kind of also, I think, the next chapter for me, to talk more broadly about mental health, but also some of the issues that mental health is in contact with: financial health, gender, race. So yeah, probably say the conclusion.
Wow, that's a great launching pad to go beyond. And just hearing your comment about that is definitely, that's what came to mind. And just even the fact that as you're describing, you know, the shift and so forth, it's almost like there's like a regrounding of people now going on. Like, it's almost because in a way we've all been up here and moving at a fast pace and ticking the box and just thinking about, it's the hustle culture, but definitely now it's, you can't really truly live or embody yourself if you're not grounded, if you're not coming back to your core, which so many people, it seems like there's a fear factor to do that almost, which is shocking. Why don't you have the best relationship with yourself? And it's interesting to see that you're like that, there is that shift, and more it's like talking about this with people, it's not as a hesitant situation anymore. And especially, I'm curious, because especially when it comes to mental health, and I hopefully you don't mind me bringing this up, but it's especially mental health in men in general, even coming from the States, that's like a taboo thing. Because when you're talking about your upbringing in typical British family, you know, I grew up in a WASP family, and you know, my father was like, you would not, it was just closed off, everything internalized. But as you've progressed in this, in your career, like, and talking about mental health as a male, like, what have you encountered? Like, have you encountered a lot of, you know, resistance, or what, like, how has it been? Especially, I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, there's definitely been more, I'd say slightly more reception from women, mm-hmm. I think. But I think beyond that, the myth that men can't talk about how they feel is completely untrue. Men are perfectly capable of, you know, expressing their emotion in the same way that women are. I think what I've seen over the last few years is that it's just much less common, and there are less role models that make men feel okay to do that. And often men are in fewer environments where they feel kind of safe to start to express themselves. That's just the observation I've made, because I've been in groups, I've been in company workshops, I've been in company events where I've heard men stand up and share a story, share an experience. You know, I've seen that. I know that's possible, and I've seen women do exactly the same. So I know that we as humans, however you identify, race, gender, sexuality, whatever, are all capable of expressing how we feel. I think for certain demographics, sort of culturally, that's harder than others. And I think, you know, white men or white working class men, or however you want to sort of define someone, or just men in general, yeah, just typically, I think, had less environments where where they're able to, and less chance to kind of learn how to do it. I know for me, like, you know, my first experiences of beginning to open up and talk about how I was feeling, I started journaling. So I started writing down my thoughts, my feelings and emotions on a notepad and with pen and paper. And I look back and it was practice. You know, I was learning to use words that I'd not used before. I'd not said the word stressed before, or anxious, or
wow,
vulnerable, or sad. Like, you know, I knew of these words clearly, but I'd not attached them or used them to sort of name or acknowledge an experience that I was going through. So I was literally, I joke now, I'm like, I feel like I was learning another language. And yeah, I think we've got to make that available to more men, and we need more male role models in positions of influence that are kind of leading the conversation around their mental health and how they feel, because that's going to inspire others. It's going to give other people the words to set, sort of say how they're feeling. And I think we've got to create environments that feel safe for men to, you know, start to practice, take risks and talk about how they feel. It's a tough one, because we also have a massive problem where women don't feel safe to talk about how they're feeling and how they don't feel physically safe. Or so, you know, it's kind of like we need to split the men and the women up and be like, right, you go, you know, and then come back sort of thing. So we've got a lot of work to do, and it's highly charged, because to go into a workplace, let's say, and to say I go into a workplace tomorrow and I speak in front of everyone and say, look, we need to create a safe environment for the men in here to talk about mental health, rightly and understandably so, there's going to be a lot of women who say, well, I need, you know, no, we need that. So there's a lot to this, and it's really charged, and we've got, you know, centuries of experiences and traumatic events that are all very present, and we're all much more aware of now than we've ever been. So yeah, so I've gone on a slight tangent there, but yeah, I think this is the next phase of mental health. Like, we've got a lot of work to do. Like, the awareness is there, and like, it's really bubbling away. You know, you've got all these, like, all the issues and social movements that have come up in the last year or so, and it's time to, whether we sit in a room and we have some difficult conversations, or we bring in facilitators, or people start going to therapy more, whatever, like, we've got some work to do now.
Yeah, I know you did not go off on a tangent. I love that, because it's just also very, to me, like, that's very personal topic in general too. Because even when the Sarah Everard vigil went on, I had so many straight, educated male friends not understanding what was the situation was.
Yeah.
But to your point, it's buildup of centuries of what it's just, that's the pinnacle, and that's unleashing. Like, it's that, it was like that match.
Yeah.
So you're talking about going into companies, and I find, especially dealing with some of the companies you work with, you know, that they're very, a lot of them, you know, you're looking more towards the agencies, they're much more traditional and so forth. How do you approach, especially going to maybe more of a traditional organization, bringing your coaches in and so forth? How do you approach, like, what is your approach, and how has your experience been? Because just the thought of going into like a FTSE 100 or some type of a company that's really established, that has had that sort of systemic, you know, compartmentalization and all.
Yeah.
To bring in this, it's like, whoa, what's, it's like left field. So.
Yeah. I think first things first is, you know, every business we partner with is ready and wants to go on that journey. So typically we will, you know, we will tell our story, we will create content, bring a community together, do events, tell stories, whatever. And yeah, people will begin to engage with us because they'll resonate in some way, and we will attract or engage with a HR director or a head of people or someone in the people team that kind of is an advocate. You know, they're an advocate of mental health, and they like the look of Sanctus, right? They kind of get it. It speaks to them in some way. And then we'll go on, you know, we'll go on that journey with them. So it starts with a person, basically. It starts with an individual. And yeah, I mean, so if a business is ready for that sort of change, but it, you know, it still takes a lot from there. Like it's a bit of a magic sauce, and there's quite a few different ingredients, I think, that can kind of make it all work and make it possible for conversations about mental health to happen in a company, even when they, you know, typically haven't before. I think you've got to have an advocate or an evangelist, someone that's like boots on the ground. They're just like super passionate about the topic and making it work. There's got to be some leadership buy-in and a sponsor of sorts that's willing to sort of either sign off the budget and, you know, give voice to it, which is arguably as important. And then I suppose the one thing that we make sure we do with every one of our partners is, you know, we're not a new well-being product that just gets stuck at the end of a company email. Like, we make a song and dance about, you know, joining forces with that, with a new business, because to us, we are partnering with that business to go on this mission together. And we've got the same goal. It's like, we all want your employees. We all want the people in your community and your business to start to engage and think about their mental health and take care of their mental health more. So we got the same end goal in mind. So we'll often do a company-wide event where we'll usually have a leader in the business sort of tell a bit of their story or sort of kickstart the partnership. Yeah, and then just work really closely with them, basically. But they've got to want to do it, and then they've got to have the right mix of people that are also ready to work hard at, you know, at being a bit of a fire starter, because each business is a community. And to change the culture of a community, you need someone that's willing to dance, and then you need someone that's willing to join them to dance, and then it goes from there. So every business, a mini mental health movement happens in each business.
Right at the end, what came to mind was just thinking about, you know, it's amazing that people are getting over the fear, but it's also, I think, in a culture we live in, doing something new, regardless of what it is, there's that fear of failure, and it seems like just embracing the potential of failing, like even though it's an unknown situation for them, they're still engaging in it. When you go into companies, have, like, if there has been resistance, has it stemmed from like what you've gleaned? Like, is it just the fear of the unknown, or this is fear like of the failure factor potentially, even though there shouldn't be, because this is for the betterment of them?
I think, again, there's always a mix of things. I think the fear of failure might come from the person buying the service. Mm-hmm. You know, they put their neck out, they put their heart into it. So, you know, they build a business case for it, and then it comes in and no one signs up 20 sessions and it doesn't work. No one likes that, especially when it's around mental health, when maybe they're having to expose some of their self, some of their interests to even get it in. You know, they're straight away saying, I care about mental health. You know, the buyer, the person, whoever it is saying something about them. So I think there's probably a fear of failure there and an anxiety to really get it right. But that shows up a lot, I think, for us. But I think more generally, in terms of going on the mental health journey as a business, I think the main, and this is true for businesses and people, it's the fear of the unknown. People are very scared of what might come up, you know? Like, I remember considering going to see a coach for the first time and just the thoughts going through my head of, like, what actually will I end up talking about here? Like, will I talk about my mum and dad? Will I talk about, is there something that I don't know? Like, is there, you know, is there something under there that I've never uncovered that's going to come rushing out? It's going to change my whole life. You know, do I actually want to go and live in, you know, Sweden? Like, just like random, you know, what? It's the fear of the unknown and I suppose the fear of even the potential for change. Like, that can be quite scary. So, you know, in businesses where maybe there are some underlying problems, will people leave? You know, and that does happen a lot. Will actually people become more conscious of the issues we've got and then we have to deal with them? You know, that's a classic. So there's a lot of fear of the unknown, because you know, going on this path, again, either as an individual or a business, is a really conscious choice for something to be different, you know, to live a different life in some way where, you know, you are aware and you're in touch with what is going on. You don't avoid or hide. Yeah, you'll still avoid stuff, but you'll be aware that you're avoiding it, and that's different. So yeah, it is a big move for people and a big move for businesses. So I understand why there's reticence and why there's fear, because things can transform. You know, things can change. We see it all the time in individuals that start, you know, they go to see a coach and they start on that journey and they, you know, they completely change who they are. Like, they change the way they dress, the what they wear, you know, change their hairstyle, start like holding boundaries and say no to people when they never used to before. Like, you know, and it that might piss some people off or scare some people in their life, or, you know, they get in a relationship because actually something shifted, or change job or change career. So, you know, people can really transform, and businesses can really transform too.
Mm-hmm. And talking about transformation, just listening to you just made me think, especially in the last 18 months, we were like in a liminal space that we've never experienced as a society. And people were talking, as you were saying, you know, people are talking about things that they've never talked about. And even I was hearing about how, you know, agencies were hearing people in boardrooms that would never say things before, unless they're whispering at a dinner in somebody's ear, but they're saying out loud. Have you seen that, like, the last 18 months, a more increase of these companies you're working with coming to you and approaching you more to work with?
I mean, the last 18 months is just changed our awareness of health forever. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, and mental health as part of that, because we've all had a shared experience. So I think before, we had shared experiences around, you know, what was typical, say, let's call it London office life, of like, oh, I've got to get the commute in, or, but it was so standard. And so the people that were having experiences with their mental health were kind of like, we're still the odd ones out, basically. Whereas now we've all had this shared experience that has been traumatic to some degree and varying degrees for different people. So we've all had this shared collective experience. So we've got something to go off. You know, we've all had that feeling of like, God, like, I'm bored of being from home, or I'm scared about an elderly grandparent, or, oh, my holiday's been cancelled, or, like, we've all had these shared experiences that we can all relate to each other on. So I just think it's been humongous for people's personal, you know, awareness of their own mental health, like their own feelings of anger, frustration, anxiety, guilt, all the different feelings that have come up for everyone over the last 18 months, fear of death. You know, like, just a million and one different psychological impacts, more time to become aware of things and read about stuff, and more time alone, less busy time, like, you know, more time just you and your thoughts, or you and your family, or whatever. So it's been a very profound 18 months. And, you know, it's a bit like, it's funny because it reminds me of my own journey with mental health, where I had to get ill essentially to make a change. And it happens a lot with people, you know, it takes I'd say 90% of people I've known who've made some sort of change in their life with regards to their mental health and their general behavior and way of being typically comes after some sort of quite physical impact, whether it's an illness. Like, for me, it wasn't an illness, but I had panic attacks, which were very visceral. Some people end up in hospital with pneumonia because they've been working so hard, or, you know, people get rashes on their head and their legs because it's another way of their body saying, look, there's something going on here. But on a collective level, like, the world's just got really ill, you know, and I think it's everyone's woken up to there's just something, you know, there's something going on, basically. The world literally just slowed us down. So yeah, it's changed things massively. And then the whole working from home virtual thing has obviously been a big part of that as well, because, you know, people naturally have to show more of themselves than at work. It's like, oh, right, you've got some art in the background. I didn't know you were into art. Or like, oh, that's your wife, is it? You know, like, you never talk about her. Or that's your kids. Oh, actually, you're a father and you're a really nice guy. You're not just the cold-hearted CEO that I thought you were. You know, they're just some some like basic examples. So it's been huge. It's just been absolutely huge. And I think we're going to see the change and the inflection point long continue for the next few years. For mental health, it's been massive. There's been loads of new mental health businesses start up. There's people have become much more educated about what they're looking for. Mental health in the workplace has gone from a luxury to a necessity. So it's been massive, to be honest. And I wish we didn't have to get to the point where we had a global pandemic and, you know, hundreds of thousands of people have died for us to wake up. But that seems to be what works in for humans to really get a perspective shift. And that's what's happened.
Yeah, it's having that one wake up call. It's like, you know, having, you know, the great financial crisis, like these crises, that's the only way we can get out of our like tunnel vision. But yeah, even just talking about just the movement of mental health, I know one of my friends in Adobe, she's getting funding so she can bring in more alternative modalities in for training, like Reiki and so forth. And I'm like, Adobe, that's amazing. Or even we're seeing Zinc Ventures having a program coming up for mental health for children, mm-hmm. and more and so forth. It's amazing. So my question is, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but with this transition, what's next for Sanctus and what's next for you as a published author?
Yeah. I mean, for Sanctus, it's more of the same. Like, we've built a really strong foundation over the last 5 years as one of the first businesses in this space to really, you know, become an expert in what it means to support people at work and to support businesses with their wider culture and sort of strategy around mental health. So we're ready to do more of that and to scale. We got some COVID's created some big challenges as well in terms of, you know, people's working patterns and how people are ready to receive sort of well-being products in the workplace. People are becoming much more literate. So that means we need to become much more sophisticated in how we talk about the benefits of coaching and what coaching can do for people. So I think we're really excited about expanding our kind of vocab and talking to people about the different uses of coaching in particular, which is our core product, and really improving some of our core, you know, our core tech so we can reach more people. Basically, that's what we're here to do. We work with 100 businesses in the UK at the moment, so that means we're available to a lot of people, which is really good. But there's no reason why that couldn't be 1,000 businesses, and we're available to 10 times the amount of people we are now. So yeah, it's about more of the same, to be honest, which is obviously very exciting, and there's more to do. And then for me, I don't really know, to be honest. Yeah, I don't really know. I really don't know. I mean, I've stopped. I haven't got an operational role in Sanctus, so I'm, you know, I'm not in there in the team meetings and the stand-ups. I don't manage anyone. I don't run the business. I made that call because it felt right for me and how I was feeling, and it felt right for the business. So I'm sort of working out how I be James and how I stay connected to Sanctus. And the book's obviously been a perfect little bit in between there. So I'm still launching the book. I think I will be for the next month or so. Like, got a few more podcasts coming up, doing a couple of keynotes, doing some more talks in businesses and just telling the stories from the book. So I imagine I'll continue to do that. I think there'll be a natural point where that dies down, and then I think I'll enter a bit of a void, to be honest, where I kind of really assess exactly what, you know, what I want to spend my next sort of five, 10 years on. I'm not going anywhere from Sanctus. Like, I'm the founder of it. That'll never change. But exactly what I do with my time every day and how I contribute to our mission is kind of undecided, to be honest. I think I'm going to see how it plays out, because I don't actually know, which is always really exciting, but also always really scary at the same time.
Wow. It definitely, for me, it sounds exciting to hear this and hear what's going next. But I just want to thank you for your time, James. It's been wonderful to hear more about what you're doing, about Sanctus, and just your thoughts around what's going on with the mental health within this world, this crazy world. So,
It's been great. I've really enjoyed our chat.
Oh, wonderful.
Hope you enjoyed that episode. There's lots happening at Never Not Creative. We've got a new website coming at nevernotcreative.org. Might even be ready by the time you listen to this. So go check that out. It's got everything that's happening on it at Never Not Creative. We delivered a whole bunch of mini-series that you may have missed at the end of last year. So you can go and check out the podcast. Subscribe, obviously, but you can go back and look through some of those episodes where we did some specific episodes on failure, what it is, how to manage it, how to make the most of it in future, and also a special series of episodes on mental health and men. It's called Creativity and Football because, you know, maybe we'll get more men to listen if we put the word football in the title. Go check those out. Let us know what you think. We've got a very exciting mini-series coming up, which is all based on understanding the lack of equality in our industry when it comes to men and women, or just white men and everybody else. And that's in collaboration with Fuck the Cupcakes and Be the Change. And it's there to help us understand better what the differences are in the workplace, how to overcome some of the challenges, and how to educate people better. So keep an eye out for that. That's going to be coming up. We've got a new mentor program starting soon for people of color. It's called Here Now. You can go check that out, nevernotcreative.org/here now. And I'm losing count of all the other things that are happening. So that'll do for now. Go check us out on Discord. You can always drop us a message on there. And if there's more that you'd like to hear on the podcast, then please jump in and send us a message there. We're always looking for volunteers to help us out with things. Never Not Creative is a non-profit organization. So if you are able to, just get in touch. And there'll be more podcasts coming up soon. Thanks again to Streamtime, always there to help us, looking to help create healthier, creative businesses. Go check out Streamtime at streamtime.net. We'll be back with a new episode soon.